the third chapter. In those days, John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness of Judea, proclaiming, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." This is the one of whom the prophet Isaiah spoke when he said, "The voice of one crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight." Now John wore clothing of camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locust and wild honey. Then the people of Jerusalem and all Judea were going out to him and all the region along the Jordan, and they were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many Pharisees and Sadducees coming for baptism, he said to them, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruit worthy of repentance. Do not presume to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our ancestor,' for I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children to Abraham. Even now the axe is lying at the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. I baptize you with water for repentance, but one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to carry his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor and will gather his wheat into the granary. But the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire." The Gospel of the Lord. There will come a time when Mr. Trump and Mrs. Clinton will be the best of friends. There will come a time when Mitch McConnell and Nancy Pelosi will want to spend all of their time together. Sounds absurd, but is it any more ridiculous than the assertion made in the first lesson today, when the leopard and the lamb will lie down together, and when the little boy can play over the adder's den's hole and not be poisoned and killed by the snake? Is it any more absurd to think that there can be reconciliation among people in our nation than it is for those animals to do what by nature they do? But reconciliation is like that. That absurd notion of bringing enemies together so that there is peace between the enemies. In order to look at what becomes a stumbling block to this peace and reconciliation between people, I want to look at one particular system that plays out among people that becomes a stumbling block to peace and reconciliation. I want you to consider the implications of the white male Christian system. Now, there are four myths that come with this white male Christian system, and they're developed by Richard Rohr in his book, From Wild Man to Wise Man. And I am asking you to indulge me to consider these myths about the white male Christian system. I know some of you will be tempted to say, well, then obviously he's not a real man because he's critiquing the white male system. And that's entirely possible that I've failed in my own manhood. For it was my grandmother, when she first met my wife when we were still dating, who said, she's going to wear the pants in the family. But indulge me, if you will, in looking at these four myths. The first myth is that the white male Christian system is the only system there is. Nothing else will work. The white male system is the only system there is. So this year it was decided that I was going to learn how to prepare a turkey for Thanksgiving. And my wife is going to be my teacher. She has a system for how the turkey is prepared that she got from her mother. And so obviously it's the right system because it came from my mother-in-law. And so we practiced the Sunday before Thanksgiving. And part of what my wife has done is that you smear olive oil on the outside of the turkey, and then you rub salt on it. And then you do the same thing with the inside of the turkey. Now, have you ever tried to get hold of a turkey once it has olive oil spread all over it? It's a wonder the thing didn't like shoot right out the back door and into the backyard, just trying to hold that thing down to get inside. And so I said to my wife, why don't you do it the other way? Like oil and salt the inside first while you can still hold on to it, and then do the outside? No, that won't work. So we did it her way, and on Thanksgiving then, I worked on preparing the turkey because I had had the best teacher ever. But when she wasn't looking, I switched the order. And I did the inside first and then the outside. I didn't tell her until she said, boy, the turkey was great. Aren't you glad you did it the way I told you? And then I said, well, I actually did it reverse order. But we as people have in our minds a way, a system that works, and we assume there is no other way for it to be. The assumption is applied to the white male Christian system as well. It's the only way that there is. The second myth of the white male Christian system is that the white male system is innately superior. And so, being innately superior, one can stand in judgment of those who are outside of it. What we are seeing in the interactions among some of our people in our nation with those of minorities is that there are racist and bigoted statements that are being made to those who are in the minority. There are those who want to say it's Mr. Trump's fault. Now, I am not willing to lay blame at his doorstep that he made these people racist or bigoted, but I think in his speaking and his actions, he has given permission for that kind of communication. We must realize that this kind of racist, bigoted approach to one another has been hiding, has been lurking in the shadows, but now it's out of the shadows in broad daylight. And when someone in a powerful position gives permission for it, it starts to rear its ugly head. But notice what it does. It attacks those who are outside of the system. It diminishes those who are outside of the system. It makes the problems with the country the fault of those who are outside of the system, so that we never critique the white male Christian system. And so the second myth is that the white male system is innately superior. The third myth is that the white male Christian system knows and understands everything. It knows and understands everything. So how about Penn State? We are... You know, you said that with more enthusiasm than you did, Lord have mercy, earlier in the service. It says something right there, doesn't it? And it's been a remarkable season for Penn State. Do you realize the turning point in their season? It was when Ohio State let them beat them. That it turned that team around. And you know, I know you want to deny that reality, but what was also necessary for them to get to the Big Ten championship? Ohio State had to beat Michigan, and Ohio State beat Michigan. So Penn State has won the championship because of the work that Ohio State has done for it, right? So 08... There we go. See, we are a congregation that allows opposing viewpoints to come together. That was a... She points to the seminary, and it's the seminarian's fault. But isn't it amazing how we become so tunnel vision oriented on... We're the ones that have it all together. We're the ones that are making it work. We're the ones that know what we're doing, and it takes no help from anyone else to make it happen. Nothing can break in from outside of the system to enlighten it or to challenge it or to make it improve. And that's what the white male Christian system does, is that nothing needs to break into it to challenge it or hold it accountable to make it improve because it's superior in the first place. And that's a myth. And the final myth, the fourth myth, is that it's possible for us to be totally logical, rational, and objective. That we are never biased by how we feel about something. We're never biased by our own perspective, our own preferences, but that we are always rational, logical, and objective. I can remember at a meeting where, a community meeting where we had members of the police force and members of the district's attorney's office present, and the first challenge was to the police force and how officers can bring that sense of bias to the interactions with those that they encounter on the street. And then a member of the DA's office said, now our system is different because we have a system in place that keeps us objective. That we can be objective through the whole process. And that's a fallacy. No one of us ever sees anything without looking through a prism to see it. None of us hears anything without hearing it through a filter that serves our purposes. No one can be totally logical, rational, or objective. And so these myths describe just one system, the white male Christian system, of many systems that have an impact on people's lives. And it's a system that I think requires being challenged so that there can be reconciliation. And that's when we turn to John the Baptist, who is this wonderful character that we hear about in the Gospel of Mark that challenges the system. Because he's raised by a priest. And it's the priestly class in the temple in Jerusalem that allows for reconciliation to take place. But notice what happens. John breaks free of that priestly system. And so priests would wear these glorious garments with jewels and fine colors on them. But what does John wear? Camel's hair and a leather belt. And so he's rebelling against the garments. And priests eat that which would be considered kosher. And what does John eat? Locust and wild honey. So he's eating outside of the dietary restrictions. And where is John acting? In the temple? No, he's acting out in the wilderness. And so what John is doing is breaking free of the system, which is sending the message that the old system for reconciliation is failing. It doesn't work. And a new way is being brought into existence. What John calls for is a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And it's done in the River Jordan with this abundantly flowing water. Have you ever tried to measure how much water is in a river? You can't. It's immeasurable. And so is God's mercy. God's mercy for you is immeasurable. There's nothing that you can do that can be more than the mercy and forgiveness that God offers to you. As Paul says in Romans, nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. And John tells us that Jesus is coming along, and the first thing we see is that as Jesus is baptized by John, Jesus is also buying into this new system that breaks down the old system that's failing. But with Jesus, it's not just water, but it's the Holy Spirit and fire. It's that process that destroys everything that's broken in human life. It burns up the chaff. It consumes that which is broken. But in the process of destroying what is broken, it doesn't lead to condemnation. But it leads to forgiveness. God will continue to work on each one of you, breaking off those rough edges, consuming the chaff, purifying what is impure. And God will do it because God wants you to live. And it's the life that allows us to be at peace with one another. There will be moments, perhaps even as early as this afternoon, when you will catch a glimpse of that kind of peace and reconciliation. And at that moment, it's a sign of the kingdom of God breaking into this world. It is my prayer that as the kingdom of God breaks into this world, you will be ready to receive it with all of your heart. Amen.